been searching all of my life for answers that I could not find. Hopelessly failing time after time, losing before I could try. But oh, what a difference when I met the Lord. For the first time I was home. So I'm a witness, I'll testify and tell everyone that I know. I'm not the same man I used to be. I was changed when Jesus found me. I can't help but shout it for all men to hear. With every breath of my life, I'll testify. No condemnation, no more regret. Scared of my past. Life in abundance, grace measureless, real joy of living at last. And one day I'll wake up and find myself home. Oh, what a day that will be. Until that moment when I see his face, I'll tell how good God is to me. I'm not the same man I used to be. I was changed when Jesus found me. I can't help but shout it for all men to hear. With every breath of my life, I'll testify. All that I am, more than I'll be, Jesus is every good thing in me. I'm not the same man to be. I was changed when Jesus found me. I'm not the same man I used to be. I was changed when Jesus found me. I can't help but shout it for all men to. With every breath of my life, I'll testify. I'll testify. I'll testify.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that song. May I ask you a question? I've asked this question across literally around the world, I guess, now. Have you talked to the Father today? You know, we have talked to our friends, we have talked to our family. A lot of people even talked to their dog and their cat and you know, all this stuff. But have you talked to the Father? That's the question for the hour. And if you haven't, shame on you. Shame on you. Because He did wake you up this morning. Amen. Gave you the clothes to wear to church, a vehicle to bring you here. Boy, God's good, isn't He? And I love my Father. I hope you do too. And good spirit here. Good spirit over at the college. Had a good time with those young adults. I kept calling them kids, Dr. Gomez, and I guess they are kids to me. But they don't like to hear that, and I would have to apologize, you know. Okay, you're not kids. You're just young adults. Okay. And they forgave me, and we're good friends now. Amen. All right. This morning I would like to speak on this subject, and it's just a good subject, but it's natural to pray. And when I say that to a lot of people, they'll tell me, Brother Beckman, it's not natural for me to pray, but it should be. It should be, and I'll show that to you this morning. Jonathan Edwards wrote this. He said, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life. Matthew Henry said it like this. He said, you may as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray. You know, it's just natural for a baby to cry when it is thirsty or hungry or needs attention. It's just natural. And when he cries or she cries, mother just comes running. And it's just natural for Brother Benny and you, if you're saved, to cry out to the Father, and buddy, here he comes running. And isn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, it's just wonderful. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And if I may ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, and because you're saved, because you're in the family of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And notice what He's doing there in your heart. He's crying, Abba, Papa, Daddy. Isn't that wonderful? Father, let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful for the opportunity again to be able to stand and proclaim Your Word. And Father, as I prayed in Sunday school and as I pray almost every night of my life, in some pulpit, Lord, I want to be very caring and loving and compassionate and sensitive to my brothers and my sisters here this morning. And Lord, again, if I can't, help me to sit down. Help me just be swallow my pride and just have a seat and say nothing and do nothing. And allow Dr. Gomez to do the preaching or someone of his choice. And Father, I asked You also this morning that if there's a lost person in this room, Lord, Lord, I'm praying with urgency because they could die. They could die even during this service. And Lord, I asked You if there's somebody that's lost, Lord, that they'll be saved this morning. Maybe right now they'll bow their head and cry out to You to save their soul. Now, Lord, again, I just want to be used of You. I want to bring honor to You. I want to bring glory to You. I sure love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, let me say this. It is natural for a Christian to pray because the spirit of prayer dwells in them. The Holy Ghost of God at the time of our conversion and our faith and our supplication, He moved into our hearts. The minute we cried, Father, I'm a sinner, come into my life and save my soul. The Holy Ghost of God moved into Brother Benny's life at that very moment. And at the very moment that you prayed that prayer, He too moved into your heart. Isn't that a wonderful truth to know that the Holy Ghost of God is living within us? Let me show you something now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 19, the Bible is very clear about the Holy Ghost living in our temples. And because of Him living in our temples, it is natural for us to pray because He leads us to pray. Because He cries, Abba, Father, and He leads you and me to cry, Abba, Father, too. Let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 19, the Bible says, what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And notice where He is. He's not floating around in the heavenlies. He's not living in this building. He's not in those pews. He's not in this pulpit. He's not in the instruments. He's not up here in the choir. He's not out there in the foyer. He's not in a Sunday school classroom. You know where He is according to the Bible? He is in your heart. He is in my heart. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. And then it says, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. What a truth. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of us. And by the way, He does His job too. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8 in verse 15. The Apostle Paul said it this way. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. Because we are adult children in the family of God, it is natural for us, according to the Bible, because we are adopted into the family of God, we cry, Abba Father. That's the Bible. That's not an interpretation. That's not my idea of that verse. That is just the pure Word of God. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit moves on the heart of the believer again to pray. I'm going to say it over and over and over and over because I want it to be drilled into your minds, into your hearts, because the Holy Ghost reminds me every day, Brother Benny, you should talk to me. You should talk to me. You can't handle that problem. You can't handle that tribulation. You can't handle that trial. Brother Benny, it's natural for you to turn to me. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Oh boy, that is a wonderful, wonderful teaching there. The Holy Ghost takes your inability and give you the ability to pray. Hallelujah. Notice what else it says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know you have had experiences, and I have had experiences. When Diane was dying with brain cancer, they had tubes running in her nose and in her mouth and all over her. Her whole body was just covered with all kind of tubes and machines, and I have sat there many, many nights holding her hand, and Brother Gomez, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't have the words, but I am so glad that sometimes when we don't have the words, He does. And the Holy Ghost of God began to pray for me. He took the words right out of my mind, and He took them to the Heavenly Father. I mean, He walked right into the throne room of God, and He presented my needs at that very moment. And He will do the same thing for you if you'll just let Him do it. Amen. It's just natural for a Christian to pray. And I am so glad I have the Holy Ghost in my life, and where He guides me, and where He teaches me, and where He intercedes for me, and where He helps me every day of my life. Aren't you glad? Can you just raise your hand and say, glory to God? I'm telling you, this is an old-timey Baptist church, right? Amen. And it's okay to do this. It's okay to say glory. It's okay to say praise God, because we got the greatest honor in all the world. We have the greatest privilege in all the world, and that is to be able to pray, talk to the Father. I mean, any time we can just run right into the throne room of God and say, Father, I'm not here for no other reason. I'm not here to beg for anything. I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm just here to say, I love you. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now listen, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You may say right this morning, Brother Beckham, it's not natural for me to pray. I don't have a hunger to pray. I don't have a thirst to pray. It's not natural, Brother Beckham. Hey, you better check up. You better check up. I'm just reading you the Scripture. I'm not an interpreter. I'm not a performer. I'm not an entertainer. I'm just an old-fashioned Bible preacher that's been preaching this word for 52 years. And I know I look to be 120, but I'm not. Amen. I'm only 68 years old. But I started preaching as a kid, 16 years of age, freckled face, red-headed Georgia boy, just preaching the gospel. Amen. But, you know, it's natural for me to pray. You know why? Because according to Scripture, I have the Holy Ghost in my heart, and He just leads me to pray. And He'll do the same thing for you if you have the Spirit. But if you don't have the Spirit, swallow your pride, get off the pew. You don't even have to get off the pew. You can just bow your head right now and say, Father, I don't have this, but I sure would like to have it. Would you come into my life and save my soul so I will have a desire to have a relationship with you? Amen. Secondly, it is natural to assume that believers will pray because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. It's okay to use the Bible, right? Amen. Boy, it's good to be in a Bible-believing church. That's the only kind of... That's my crowd. The King James crowd. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, he that saith, anyone can say. Anyone. And you go out soul winning. It's amazing to me. You go outdoor now. Everybody is saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody. I'm talking about everybody. You can go next door because I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. And it's easy to say, I abide in Christ. But notice what it says here. If you're going to say that you abide in Christ, you ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now look up here, church. I can walk very well. And my legs are very strong, and I can walk. And I can walk back and to across this platform, and I can walk around the church, and I can run around and walk around the property. I can walk. That's not the problem. People are walking in churches. But the problem is we're not walking, we're not carrying out the whole part of that verse. And that verse says that if we say we abide in Him, we ought Himself so also to walk even as He walked. Now that changes the whole picture. Even now we are to walk, and I hear it every. More likely I'll hear it out there in the foyer this morning. Now, Brother Beckham. Now you know that we can't walk like Jesus walked. Well, sir, ma'am, why would God's Word tell us to if we can't do it? I'll tell you the problem. Many people are trying to walk
as Jesus walked in the flesh. Romans 8 tells you, you can't do that. We can't walk in the flesh and be like Jesus. But if we walk in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is the same, if we walk in the Spirit of God, then we can walk as Jesus walked. But we got to walk in the Holy Spirit. Hello? Yes, sir. And so that's the key there. Notice with me to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4, it says, "He that saith," there it is again, it's all through this book, he that saith, "I know him and keepeth not his commandments," listen to it very closely, "is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Brother Beckham, please don't call me a liar. Please tell me the truth is not in me. But listen, I would never hurt your feelings. I would never do it intentionally. No, sir. But if the Word of God does it, I have no control over that. And so if you are here this morning and you are saying, "I know God," but you're not walking like you know God, then you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. I love you. I really do. But that's the book. Amen. And if the Holy Ghost is convicting you right now of that particular truth, hey, don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost here. Just bow your head or come to the altar and say, "God, forgive me for just talking. Help me to walk my talk." Amen. Look in John chapter 10 and verse 27. Jesus said this himself. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, we are told, "Who in the days of his flesh, and when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Our Lord and Savior walked in the spirit of prayer all the time. And we too are to walk in the spirit of prayer all the time. Amen. I told the college students that the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, and that is as much of the Bible as John 3:16, "And go ye and be ye," in all those verses. That verse says, pray without ceasing. That's a command from the Word. I didn't write it. I didn't put it in there. But we are to follow that. And just because you don't understand it, and just because you can't explain it, that doesn't mean that you are not to follow it. Amen. And so the Bible, as I read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, I find 30 references along in the Gospels to the Lord Jesus praying. He prayed regarding his baptism. He prayed all night before he selected the 12 disciples. His transfiguration was graced with his praying. He prayed before some of his miracles. He prayed in the garden before the crucifixion. He prayed during the crucifixion. His whole life, E.M. Baum said, the life of Jesus was crowned with the glory of prayer. Amen. I hope someone can say that about me one day. Brother Beckham, he didn't just preach prayer. He was a man of prayer. Amen. That's very, very important to you and to me. Romans 8 verse 27 says, "He maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Church, look up here for a moment. Let me tell you something. something. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you may be facing the trial of your life. Let me tell you, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Heavenly Father right now, interceding for you. That's what He lives for, to intercede for His children. That is one of the most wonderful teaching, one of the most precious teaching in the entire Word of God. We are not to live this life on our own. We are not our own. We belong to Him, and He wants to do things for us, but we must follow the Bible. We must be right with Him. Amen. And this thing of prayer is so important. So important. Number three, it is natural to pray. Listen, because as believers, we love the Lord. If I walked around, and many times I'm all over the auditorium, I'm running down the aisles, talking to people, sitting by people. That's the part, that's just the way the Holy Ghost plugged me in 52 years ago. So I just walk around, I talk to people, I see people crying. Sometimes I'll just sit down by you, put my arms around you guys, and pull you to me. Don't get scared. I'm not funny or anything like that. I just love you. Amen. And I'll pull you to me, and I'll say things like, Hey, I see you crying. Let me pray with you. And I just pray with them right during the preaching. Amen. And so, many times I'll say, do you love God? I mean, I just walk around and ask people that during the preaching. And I've had people say, But you shouldn't mind a preacher walking down asking you if you love God. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, you ought to have your hands up and say, hey, preacher, come and ask me. I'll tell you. I love God. I love Him with all my soul, my mind, my heart. Hey, Brother Beckham, come over here. Come over here and ask me. I'll tell you. That's the way it should be. Amen. And so look at this. It is natural to pray, because as a believer, we love the Lord. Look in John chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Turn to verse 21 of that same chapter. How many Bibles do we have in the auditorium this morning? Let me see them. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. But let me say, just because you got the Bible, just because it's in your lap, open, it doesn't mean you love God. It should mean that, but not necessarily. Amen. Every time I go to preach a meeting, I did four or five meetings for Dr. Don Green, one of the most precious, one of the most, he's just like my grandpa. And those four or five times that I preached for him, he always gave me a Bible. I got 44 Bibles. Personal Bible. Every time he gave me a sheepskin to pray on. He gave me books and but he always wanted to give me a Bible. And I said, Dr. Green, you gave me a Bible last year. Well, let me sign this one and give this one to you too. This one is a brown one, Brother Beckham. You got a black one last year. I said, but Dr. Green, give it to someone that doesn't have one. No, I'm giving it to you. And to my friend, Brother Beckham. Da, 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 da. And here you go, Brother Beckham. And so I take it and I put it in the box where I put them all, you know, all the other Bibles. And so just because I got 44 Bibles in a box doesn't mean I love God. Hello? Can you say amen right there? Just because you have a Bible, it doesn't mean you love God. But look what it says. He that hath my commandments. And keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. Don't tell anyone you love God if you're not praying. Don't tell anyone you love God if you're not studying the Word of God. Don't tell anyone you love God if you're not out trying to get people saved and preach the Word of God and be a soul winner. Don't tell anybody you love God if you're not doing the things that the Word of God tells you to do. Amen? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:23. If a man loves me, he might, if he has time, if he feels like it, he will keep my words. That's the way most fundamentalists reads it. I'm just too busy. Well, if you're too busy to serve God, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to go soul winning, you're too busy. If you're so, and I could go on and on with that. If a man loves me, this is the scripture. He will keep my words. Convicting, is it not? Wow. Brother Beckham. That's tough. I know. But it's the Bible. Amen. It's the pure word of God. And this is what I would like for you to do for me. Would you stand? Close your Bible. And let me just... I'm going to read that verse to you 8 times. And I'm going to read a command. Now listen to me. Any time during this part, this is the invitation. Any time during this part, if you want to come to this altar, the other day at the college, I was just talking, and Brother Hall can testify, I was just talking. And I was sharing my heart about being a temple of God and being a house of thieves. Which one are you? And as I was talking, the students began to move. And there was one boy, one young man sitting in a chair. Everybody else was down the aisles at the altar praying, even during the preaching. Now listen. That one young man, it wasn't because he was rebellious. It's because he couldn't even find a place to kneel. So he just sat in his seat. Everybody else was praying. And if you feel led to come any time during the reading of this invitation, I want you to come. Don't feel like you can't come. I want you to come. Get around the altar and pray. But listen to this. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, John 14:21, Matthew 6:6. Now this is not optional. Pray to your Father. Pray to thy Father. That's Bible. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, Matthew 6:9. After this manner, pray ye. That's Bible. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Churches supports hundreds of missionaries. And then I'll ask, can you name 10 missionaries? Can you name 20 missionaries? Can you name 30 missionaries that you support? And most church people can't even name 4 or 5 of their, you know why? They're not praying. If you want to remember your missionaries and pray for your missionary, pray for them. That's a good way to memorize their names. And then, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We downplay that, but that's just as much of a command as be a soul winner. Go to the mission field. Be holy. Tithe your income. All this stuff. It's just as much Bible. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you realize that we are commanded to pray for all saints? If church people would get a hold of this and we would pray for one another, then we wouldn't gossip about one another. We wouldn't have all these splits and splinters in our churches across America if everybody would just pray for one another. Amen. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I cannot explain it. Oh, I know. I'm going to read it. Okay. I'm not going to interpret it. You can run the computer commentaries if you want to. And by the way, I'm not condemning commentaries. I believe in commentaries. I got over 6,000 in my library. I read them all the time. But this is the Word of God, and this is the best commentary upon the commentary. Amen. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Pray without ceasing. Are you always in the spirit of prayer? If a man loves me, he will keep my words. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will that men praise everywhere. You know why we are to pray everywhere? Because God's everywhere. You can't go. Psalms 139 says, David says, I can go nowhere that God is not already there. I hear people say, I sure hope God meets with us today. Well, if you're saved, He will. Because you bring Him in with you. So now, He doesn't just want us to bring Him in because He lives inside of us. He wants us to do what He tells us to do. So I'm going to pray. Then the song leader will lead us in a song. And you bind God. Amen. Because I've done my part. Now I need to do what the Lord leads me to do. And then you need to do what the Lord leads you to do. One more appeal to you lost people. Please. That's a vicious old world out there. And you don't know when you're going to die. You really don't. You young people think you're going to live to be old people. You may not. You middle-aged couples, you may not. So if you're here, would you please come? Let one of the staff take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Let's pray. Father, I love You.